Hi everybody, and welcome to the Spoiled Broth. We're back, and this time not recording from across the transatlantic ocean.
Yeah.
But together in Rotterdam, in my bedroom.
We're currently both sitting on Yahara's bed.
Yeah, so
there may be some little noises of, like, you know,
Moving around,
getting comfortable.
Drinking some glue wine to get in the holiday spirit.
Exactly.
We're your regular hosts.
I'm Yahaira Brito-Morfe, and I'm here with
Jemima Vaughan.
Woo! And to close off the year, we're going to talk about 2020's best and 2020's worst.
Cultural moments.
Yeah. So no mention of Corona, not specifically.
In case anyone thought. This is a Corona-free safe space.
We should maybe also disclaim that this one is going to be less of like a culture episode, but just funny things.
Yeah, big disclaimer. This podcast is just
us.
It's really silly. We're literally sitting on Yahaira's bed and drinking glue wine out of mugs, and yeah, it's not that serious.
Hoping to get drunk, so
yeah.
If we start swearing, you know what happened. I mean, we have been talking a lot the past days because you have been staying with me, and we have been chatting a lot. So I'm not going to ask you, how have you been doing?
Yeah, but I've been in the Netherlands for the past few weeks and finally get to be reunited with Yahaira. Nice. She's kindly put me in. No mention of Nathan. She's kindly put me up at her house.
No mention of me.
No.
We have an announcement to make.
We don't have boyfriends.
Yeah, we broke up. So now,
because we think it'd be in the best interest of the podcast
to not have boyfriends. We got a lot of backlash for having boyfriends, so
we didn't get any backlash. No. Nobody mentioned it. Even with the Banksy episode, it was like two mentions, and then we're like, oh my god, we got backlash. And it was nothing. But
I mean, but people were very enthusiastic about the Banksy episode.
Yeah, so thank you for the listens and feedback.
It might be our most like discussed episode.
Yeah, probably not our most listened, but
no,
the discourse was hot.
Yeah.
There was plenty of discourse.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good episode. I'm really proud of that one. We did that. Mm. Okay, but let's, without further ado, let's start with the worst and best of 2020.
I think in this one we should talk about our worst, because we should be leaving that stuff in 2020.
Yes.
And then in the new year,
we come out with
part two.
It's all the
good stuff, because the Spoiled Broth is not just about negative stuff. So far, all of our episodes, we've talked about negative stuff, but actually,
I mean, someone actually told me that we opened his mind. So, yes, we might be negative, but we're doing God's work. Just saying.
This is what Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
The Spoiled Broth.
Spreading negativity and apparently Corona.
Yeah.
But yeah, hit it off with your worst. Your first one.
Okay. I haven't written my worst cultural moments in any particular order, so they don't really make that much sense. But the first one, I'm literally reading this off my notes app. I've just put fireworks.
Why?
Because I don't like fireworks.
Okay.
What are your feelings about this?
I don't really mind fireworks.
Growing up, my favourite holiday was Bonfire Night, or Guy Fawkes Night in the UK, which is a really silly holiday. I remember telling Dutch people about it, and they were like, what the fuck? Like, that is bizarre. But it's, if you didn't know, it's basically a holiday where we celebrate the fact that this guy didn't manage to blow up Parliament, and then we celebrate it by making like straw replicas of this man and then burning it on a fire. That's essentially Guy Fawkes summed up. And everyone like lights bonfires.
Who's this guy?
He was just
what's his name?
Guy Fawkes. That's his name.
His name was Guy.
Guy, yeah.
I love English people. Like English speaking people.
Yeah.
Insane. Why would you call someone Guy? But continue, sorry.
So on Bonfire Night, you light fireworks and you light bonfires. and I used to love it growing up. But now, since I've moved to Glasgow, had my first bonfire night, and we were out in the garden of our like little flat, and some people from the flat, like over from ours, threw some fireworks over into our garden.
Jesus.
And a firework like narrowly missed my head.
That's something I really hate about fireworks. Yeah. People always misbehave.
People are ridiculous. Fireworks.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah. And that in some way links to culture in the sense that it's a cultural holiday.
Yeah, okay, fair.
But it's really not that related. Yeah. It's just my vendetta against fireworks.
I mean, okay, nice that you shared your personal vendetta with fireworks.
I'm just treating this podcast as a therapy session. We're like sitting on your bed and, you know.
So, yeah, and then I listen to you and give you like advice. I mean, I hate fireworks too, I guess. I mean, I don't mind them because I think they have funny colors, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, it sucks.
But also, they cause so many injuries. And like, I don't know what kind of unhinged person would throw a firework over a garden wall into another garden that has people in it. But like, why?
Because
that could have given someone like major burns.
Yeah, because people are just
sick.
Yeah, exactly. And we should stop acting as if we're some kind of morally aware being, which we are not, because we just like sadistic stuff.
Because
we're
people animals. Are literally like, ooh, a bang and nice colours.
Yeah, and ha, I can hurt someone. That's basically humans. My worst, I have so many. I think I will start off with the most awful video, one of the most awful videos of 2020, which is the celebrity cover of Imagine by John Lennon.
Sorry to bring up John Lennon criticism again.
Stop. Don't. It's not John Lennon criticism. Thank you, John Lennon, for not fucking up that song as bad as they did, I guess. But I mean, this is really awful, especially because like none of them sang in the same key, I think. So that's what you say, like how you call
I'm trying
it.
To even remember when that was.
It was like in the beginning of the first lockdown,
So it must have been like around like April.
I think it was April.
Okay. And was it black and white? I seem to have a memory that it was in
no,
black
it was
and white.
The square, and they were all like filming their faces from real up close, and it would just be like, imagine all the people. And then the other one would be like, I don't know what the next line is actually, but like,
living.
Oh,
huh? Isn't it like living for today?
Oh, living for today. And you would just be like, this doesn't sound anything like the original at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. There's a guy that's on my best, I think. I just came up with that. But this is so funny. I need to mention this. And then I will cross-mention it in the best also. But there's a guy who then took that video of the celebrities being like, imagine all the people.
And then he started, you have to do a cover every time you talk about it.
But then he, like, so he drums and plays guitar, and he makes it sound as if they all sound really good just by adding instruments.
No, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. He's constantly like changing from rhythm. I don't know all these music like terms, but he's constantly like changing from like the rhythm so that it fits every single line. So it's like a constant switch, but it actually sounds pretty cool. I'll search for it.
The whole like celebrities talking about the pandemic, I think it was so touchy because it's just like these people have, I don't know if you've ever watched like one of those house tour YouTube videos.
Yes.
And you see how big a celebrity's house is. Yeah.
The 77 questions by Vogue, for example.
Yeah, and you see the houses and you see the fact that they have their own gym. They have, that's like bigger than any place I've ever lived in.
Yes.
Just that one room. They have their own swimming pool.
Kim Kardashian has a really nice house. Sorry.
I've never looked at hers.
Wow, it's really nice. She's quite, I don't know.
She has good taste.
Yeah. Mm. It's like weird nice. Not something I would live in, but I'm kind of like, damn, girl, looks good. But continue, sorry.
But like when you see these people's houses, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind quarantining in that kind of house either.
I know. I had that with Ellen.
Have this like, try and have this moral high ground of like,
we're all in this together.
Get through this together. I think that's why, I don't know if you saw it, but Jennifer Aniston, she received a lot of backlash recently because she had a little Christmas decoration that said like, our first pandemic 2020. And she took a picture of it and posted it on Instagram and everyone was like, that's so distasteful to...
That's really weird. I mean, Ellen got a lot of backlash.
Got a lot of backlash this year. The whole like...
That was the best of 2020.
Sorry, there's another... We're just referencing all the best. Because that was another thing. Like, I was really happy with that. Because I've never really been an Ellen fan.
No, me neither.
I love looking at, like, prepubescent, like, blonde boys. And then being like, oh, Ellen DeGeneres. Love her.
So when I... Okay, so when I started dating my now ex-boyfriend.
Whoa, you're committed to this resolution.
Yeah, it was funny.
New year, no boyfriend. Dump him, sis.
Yes, I will. No, so when we started dating, he was like, I hate Ellen DeGeneres. And I was like, dude, why? Because like, I often, when I don't care about someone, such as Ellen, I just don't consume their stuff. So I'm just like, I don't know shit about this woman, and you just randomly hate her. The only thing I know is that she's gay and that she's like a gay icon. So I'm just kind of like, why do you hate
her? This kind of reminds me of this post that I love that I saw on Tumblr once. And it was like, someone sent a message to this account and was like, you sure do spend a lot of time talking about Lady Gaga and listening to Lady Gaga's music for someone who doesn't like her. And then their response was like, yeah, because I'm a hater. Duh.
Yeah, that's true. Haters do that. That's also why I said maybe we have a lot of hate listeners.
Maybe. But...
Hey, haters. Love ya.
Well, I think it would be great if the Sword Broth did have some haters.
Yeah, if you're a hate listener, please... hit us up. Love our haters. We're big fans of our haters.
That's true.
So
I'm referencing another random Tumblr post, but I think this is very apt in this situation. But this post reads, yes, I recognize the irony in saying this, but we need to stop lending celebrities our time, attention, and energy already. These think pieces on how we are in an age of warning celebrity luster loss, veils of mystique and glamour pulled aside to reveal the banalities, self-absorption and willful ignorance that actually prop up their notability, just feel like yet another vehicle for continuing to monitor them, to give voice to their out-of-touch ideologies, to position them in such a way that suggests even in these times of heightened disgust and dismay with their existence, we continue to look at them. It's ideal or whatever if they're using their platform to positively influence others, but let them do that without the fanfare.
Damn, sis. Speak your truth.
Speak your truth. It's really sad, actually, that our culture kind of supports this obsession. And the same with this, like, with celebrities singing Imagine. It's so out of touch. And then I feel like suddenly people have this realization of like, oh, actually, these people who we put on such high pedestals, like, actually, we have nothing in common with them.
No, but...
And they're just cringy.
That's also why I wanted, like, when I mentioned Ellen, because, like, so I think she said, like, in the beginning of quarantine, like, 3 or 4 weeks in, she said, like, oh, now I know what it is to live in prison.
What?
Yeah, because she was locked up in her house. And everyone was just like, bitch.
Yeah, when you're a multi-millionaire.
So yeah, that was my worst. I think in general, just like this whole faux we get you bullshit from celebrities was just insane. It was cringe to the max.
Yeah, especially just no one wants to hear people who can't sing.
No.
Especially not Imagine by John Lennon.
I mean, that's also why... Actual singers, except for Sia, who's just cringy in general, did that video. Because you don't see Beyonce joining in on
Imagine. Can you imagine if it was like Jimmy Fallon? And then Beyonce! Beyonce afterwards.
And then Beyonce being like really hitting all those. She wouldn't do that.
She's too good for that.
Yeah. So next on your list.
Okay. Also on my list for worst of culture, I have cottagecore.
Oh, you're pissing off the so-called Tumblr cottagecore lesbians. Isn't that like a thing?
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Yeah. I kind of like cottagecore.
No, I thought that at first as well. Like when I was thinking of this list, I was like, do I add cottagecore to like my good or my bad cultural things of 2020? Because in some way I appreciate that cottagecore like became this big thing. I mean, especially during quarantine, it's nice to kind of make use of like your walks and stuff, your one walk a day or whatever that you got during quarantine. And like I did participate in like making elderflower cordial and like dandelion honey and stuff like that. I'm always that person who's like walking around like picking mushrooms and stuff.
Jemima is a closeted cottagecore lesbian.
I mean, I'm not even closeted. Like, I'm...
I mean, you're bisexual, so you're basically...
I'm a forager.
Like, you're basically closeted, yeah, according
exactly.
to...
In the UK, the cottagecore trend is just the latest outgrowth of the idea of Merry Old England, a utopian idea of English country life and culture based on an idyllic pastoral way of life that allegedly existed at some point between the Middle Ages and the Industrial Revolution. And it's like this nostalgic idea of like essential Englishness, and actually I think has some racist
undertones,
definitely.
Yeah, and also some like... super classist undertones.
Definitely classist.
Like, we all know that poor people wouldn't be living La Vida Loca on the...
La Vida Loca.
Living La Vida Loca on the countryside.
Exactly. No, so this is what I'm saying. Like, maybe it is just like a harmless thing. Like, all these people got into cottagecore on TikTok and they all post like little videos of their nice little cottaged houses. But it's also like... an ideological and like political construct.
Is TikTok on our worst list of 2020?
No.
Or on our best?
I think possibly on our best.
Because it's so funny.
Yeah. TikTok's great.
Yeah.
But with cottagecore, it's kind of like often this construct that's used by conservatives, this idea of like returning back to the golden age. Like, but. It's, yeah, this romanticization of a past age that supposedly existed, but actually, like, oftentimes these kind of ideas never really existed. Like, Merry Old England was also, like, propaganda during World War II. What I'm basically saying is, like, cottagecore is kind of propaganda, but yeah. Okay. On a surface level, like, obviously, it's, like, very innocent and, like, it's great. I'm not at all saying that it's not great that people are like going into nature, getting to know what's out there, like foraging. I think it's great. I love foraging. And I think it's just wonderful that people can be a bit more connected to their kind of like environment. But this idea that like, you know, you need to live in the countryside, like it's all like also quite similar to Nazi propaganda.
I mean, no, because
that's a hot take.
Wasn't like the romantic era in art also like really romanticized, haha, the romantic era being romanticized by Hitler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he was like didn't he really like the romantic era painters? Like, now I'm just spitting.
Well, it's the same way as like a lot of political parties romanticize like classical antiquity and things like that.
Yeah.
And they think that like during classical Greek times there was no like homosexuality or like there wasn't any, you know?
Anyone who thinks that is just a dumbass.
Yeah. Revised history. They don't know anything about what history was really like.
Everyone who rehashes like classical Greek stuff is really boring. I'm just gonna say it. Like, honestly, neoclassicism is the worst thing that ever happened in art. And yeah. I said that really slow so everyone understands. I hate neoclassicism. It sucks.
There you go.
It was really ugly. Like, all those paintings are just really ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Romantic era though. It's a nice era. But okay, I get your point.
Yeah. But what I was going to say with the Nazi propaganda and cottagecore, it's similar to the German idea of, like, Volk. Like, an idyllic pastoral utopia. And it was kind of like the Nazis used this idea that they would use, like, really advanced technological weaponry, and then it would, like, the ideal Nazi state wouldn't have any impure elements. Like, it would be free of Jewish people, black people, disabled, queer people. And then it's just, like, Aryans, and they're all making wood carvings, and they're milking cows, and it's, like, the whole, like, Lebensraum, like, you know, the ideal living space for Germans. But that's kind of my point.
Hmm.
I actually saw, like, some cottagecore TikToks. And when I was watching them, I was just... in my head, I was like, yeah, this is beautiful. Like, this person lived in this, like, really cute cottage. The kitchen was so nice. Like, I would have loved to have lived there. But in my head, I was thinking, like, it was in the UK. And I was like, wow, this must have been so expensive.
Yeah. It's the same as just, like, oh, that's one of my worst. And it links perfectly with this one. So I kind of got into the trap wife community for jokes. God,
this is another one.
Yeah, because, like, so I am not against the idea of, like, being a traditional housewife. So
trap wife. No, I don't think that's... but, like, if that's what you want to do,
exactly,
why
that's
not?
Fine. So I was, like, functioning a lot in these feminist spaces, and I guess I was just functioning in the wrong feminist spaces, because, like, all of them would just be like, ew, if you're a trap wife, you suck. And I was just like, if someone wants to be a traditional housewife, why not? So I made the huge mistake to, like, go and take a peek into this, like, trap wife community
online. What? Was it Reddit?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, of course, it's always Reddit.
It kept me warm, this quarantine. Anyways, so all of the, like, actual traditional housewives were, like, getting no comments or no upvotes or whatever. And then there were a lot of, like, men posting, like, their weird fetish of, like, having a traditional housewife. And it would always be, like, them living in the countryside and then the wife being barefooted. Yeah, and then, like, being pregnant constantly and having, like, a dress and cleaning the house and cooking. It's like this weird sort of romanticized image of a stay-at-home mom, like a woman.
Yeah. It's like the traditional nuclear family kind
of
thing.
Basically. But then the men would, like, the man would go out and work and then come back, but, like, it's such a weird fantasy because it's not possible to live somewhere in the countryside, like, far, far away from the city.
Yeah, but then also have people, like,
yeah,
that's not possible.
And then also have, like, a big city job, because that's also kind of, like, all these men worked in finance, for example. The city can be really isolating.
Yeah.
And I think choosing an isolated life with a loved one, I think it's also, like, the need for a loved one. I think a lot of these people actually don't have a loved one, and they just really want a family and have a happy life, but they make, like, this insane, out of proportion idea of how that should be. Well, I'm fine with my, with this is, like, 15 square meter room and my boyfriend in the city,
right by a metro stop,
and a lot of fireworks.
Oh. I love being at Yahira's house, but there have been some fireworks,
and she hated it.
Yeah,
rest in peace.
I don't know how people will respond to me comparing cottagecore to, like, Nazis and whatnot, but
backlash.
Backlash is, like, the recurring theme of the podcast. Every episode we just talk about backlash. First episode we're already talking about us being cancelled. But
hashtag the spoiled broth is over party.
Yeah, we tried to make a hashtag, but nobody used it
because we're not popular enough.
No, okay, we will be one day,
hopefully.
But folk communities, I kind of have dabbled in them a little bit, and actually there's a lot of racist people in folk communities. People who are interested in folklore, and because what tends to happen is these people want to go back to like old ways, but actually a lot of the time what they mean by that is
white people.
They kind of look back on their ancestry and claim that they're like from the like the Vikings, or like they're Nordic people,
and like Vikings.
Yeah, and they often
get over
kind
yourself.
Of in covert ways, they will demonstrate that they're actually racist.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Ignore the racism and learn the rest.
What's your next worst?
I said my next. It's the Tradwife community. That was weird.
The Tradwife community.
I like the word Tradwife.
We're calling them out.
No, not. Because, like, love being a trap wife.
Yeah, if you want to be a traditional wife.
Yeah, so I guess trap wives are, like, the trap wife communities are on my best and worst.
What's the best about them?
Because I really understand their concept, and they're basically, they created communities for each other to, like, get away from, because most of them are actually feminist. A lot of the actual women, they're feminist, but they just like to make the decision for themselves to be a trap wife. So they don't want to be pressured into working, but they also don't want to be like pressured into being a housewife. And they gradually got to know themselves, and they realized that what they really want is just staying at home and taking care of kids. But
that's like literally the whole, you know,
point of feminism.
Feminism is the fact that you can.
Yeah, but now you can. All feminists are on the same boat. Not. They are on the same page.
If you go into the trap wife communities, you encounter a lot of posts which then turn out to be men, but when you first see them you think
that they're women.
Exactly. And it's just like, because
also really it's just men using the platform to try and find women,
I guess. I don't know, they just post weird memes. It's like my own, there's this one meme that they post a lot, and that's just like, or it's not even a meme, it's just a photo with text on it, and it's just like, my only wish for life is to be on my bare feet and pregnant all the time, cooking dinner for my lovely husband. And then you notice, like, if you read the guy's profile, that he's just a guy.
Who has a pregnancy fetish.
Yeah, or a
foot fetish.
Yeah, or both. Or like a submissive housewife fetish.
That's sad, though, that men have, like, infiltrated the space where women, I guess, just share things about their life.
Yeah, so they made a new space, and I think it's like called something like Trap Wife and Feminist or something like that. And they just share like all of their tips and tricks, but also how to stay active in feminism and stuff. So go you, Trap Wife community.
Okay. So they're kind of
The wives are cool.
The wives are cool, but then the people who've infiltrated the space are on sucky. The bad side.
They're on the bad side, yeah.
The culture of this year.
Yeah, basically.
That's fair enough. My next worst part of culture, I haven't found a way to like easily explain that, but you know. My next worst thing is Vegley.
Yes.
Now, in case you didn't know, Vegley is a free dating app for vegans and vegetarians. I'm just reading their bio here, but it says, find Veg Match and chat with veggies near you and seek out a new relationship in the growing world of plant-based living. The only vegan and vegetarian dating app available on Android.
We should download it.
I was just thinking that we should download it and then put a profile up of like us and then try and see who's on there in our area. Okay, we're doing that. Yeah, we're doing that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think I sent like a picture of an advert of this dating app to you a while ago. And I actually, when I first saw it, I think I thought that it was fake, but it's not.
Make fun of it.
It's real.
Yeah.
You can search it up. Vegley app. It's a dating app for vegetarians and vegans, which I don't even know where to start about why I think this is weird.
Not only weird, but just
pointless.
Pointless, yeah.
Why does your partner have to have the same eating patterns as you?
I mean, it does make it easier when you're cooking dinner and living together and such, but then again,
who cares?
Just, I don't know. I don't have a deep point for this. I just think it's cringy.
It is cringy. Especially like
oh, my veganism is so important to me that I will only date someone who is also
vegan.
No, but
the thing that made it the most cringy was just the fact that, like, the advertisements were really... It was like success stories of, like, all of these people who found their partner on Vegly.
Yeah, so it's not actually... It's not even that just the app that's terrible.
But all the people.
It's the people.
So if you're on Vegly, just delete. Also, if you found your partner through Vegly, it's just as embarrassing as saying you met your partner through Tinder.
I am so tired of people being ashamed to say that they met their partner on Tinder. It's a dating app.
So?
Like, that's the point. Vegan sexuals. Vegans Stop! Who are only attracted to other
that's
vegans.
That's basically, like, allosexual. No, that's just being sexual.
That's the new sexuality.
What was it? It's like, you have this, like, I'm only into intellectual people.
Oh, sapiosexual.
Sapiosexuals.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
It's so pretentious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand it, I guess, with veganism, because often with veganism comes, like, a whole lifestyle.
Okay, my next worst. I'm kind of doubting between two really good ones.
You can say them all.
Yeah, but I'm, like, doubting which one I want to discuss first.
Oh, you just, which one, you know, calls to you?
I guess Kamala Harris. Okay, no, but I'm not gonna call out Kamala Harris alone. It's gonna be Kamala Harris and Joe Biden together.
Can we, like, could you please do your impression?
Wait, what was the text again of that video? Because she's like, we did it, Joe. Oh my God, we did it. You're gonna be the next president of the United States, Joe. I get why people are, like,
happy.
Excited about this. But I think she's horrible. She has no charisma at all. And then I see all these people like, yes, Mama Kamala, go off, Mama Kamala. And I'm just like, girl, this woman put, like, so many black people in prison. Like, honestly, don't call her Mama Kamala or Queen, because she ain't. You can be happy that Donald Trump is out of the Oval Office and also be disappointed that Kamala Harris is now going in.
I think you can be, like, happy that there's maybe, like, a better alternative, but on the flip side, like, how much better is it?
I mean,
and let's be realistic.
Donald Trump had one thing going for him, and that's that he was really funny on Twitter. I mean, if you look at the, like, tweets, ironically, they're
stop the cow.
January 6th, see you in DC! In, like, all caps. It's just really funny. He's just, like, crazy on Twitter. And, I mean, he got that going for him. But then, because, like, at least he was kind of, like...
Put that in his Vegly date and I'm crazy on Twitter.
No, but on a serious note, I'm not a Donald Trump apologist. No, I just think you can be, like, glad that he's leaving, but also...
disappointed with
Kamala
the things that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done in the past.
Yeah. I'm not even going to start about Joe Biden because he's just... I also see less, like, people, like, infantilizing and obsess... Or infantilizing, yes, but obsessing over Joe Biden in my, like, direct circle.
Than Kamala.
Yeah.
It's just... I think it's just because she's of color and she's a woman.
Yeah, I think because a lot of the people I, like, see in my direct, like, surroundings are often very, like, a lot of them are extroverted.
The reason why you vote for someone isn't because, or at least in my mind, it shouldn't be because
of their
they're
identities.
A woman,
yeah.
Or because they're, you know, black, or because they're Asian, you know? It shouldn't be anything to do with their identity. It should be because of their politics and their track record and how much have they done, you know, for their their state that they served.
No, but that's exactly what I think bothers me about Kamala Harris, is that no one actually looks into her politics. She was the least favorite, she was the least popular candidate when she was running for presidency herself. She dropped out the first. Mm-hmm. I mean, that says a lot about how likable she is. I guess, what disappointed me is that a lot of people, instead of, celebrating the fact that these identities were now also part of, the gang, and then also criticizing Kamala Harris as a person and her politics, everyone was just celebrating.
Mm.
Everyone was hell yeah!
It links in with the whole, celebration of being a hashtag girl boss. Yeah. And it's basically just,
I mean, how many hashtag girl boss posts have there been about Kamala Harris?
Mm.
A lot.
Just because a woman is in a position of power, it doesn't necessarily
doesn't make her
mean
a good person.
And it doesn't mean it's necessarily a good thing.
No. Because people were literally, acting as if she solved racism, which she did not.
Kamala Harris solved racism.
God bless you, Mama Kamala.
Mama Kamala.
Mama Kamala. Yeah, so that's one of my worsts.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know.
Bringing it down to, silly level, not so serious as American politics, but there's a YouTube channel that I want to mention on my worst culture of 2020. And this YouTube channel has existed for longer than, it didn't start, in 2020, but 2020 was the year that my life changed because I found this YouTube channel. So there's this YouTube channel, it's called Waterspele.
Is it Waterspele?
Yeah, Waterspele.
As in water?
Yes, as in water playing.
Yeah, Waterspelen.
So it's Dutch. It's basically a YouTube channel.
Sorry.
I'm having a mental breakdown. Same. Just thinking about this channel.
This was a ride. Okay, go.
It's basically a YouTube channel where this guy makes videos of himself fully clothed. He is fully clothed, wearing jeans, puffer jacket, shirt. He has layers of clothes. And he walks into various bodies of water. He'll walk into the sea on a popular beach in the Netherlands, and then he'll go to a swimming park and he'll film himself with a selfie stick and his phone of him walking into the water and getting completely soaked. And he has some videos that are called swimming in white jeans, and also just videos of him at popular water parks and things like that. And it seems kind of innocent enough on the surface layer. I thought it was innocent at the beginning, but it's not. Spoiler alert, it's not. It's really gross. So eventually, after watching a couple of his videos, I realized that it's a fetish channel, and it's just for people who really enjoy looking at wet old men.
Oh my god.
And yeah, most disturbingly, the two reasons why I put this into the worst culture, to justify it, because I'm not just bullying this man. I am bullying this man. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, we're bullies.
The reason why I bring him up in my worst culture is because, number one, he films himself in these public spaces, and then obviously he gets people in the background, and often in the background of his videos are children, underage children, in their bathing costumes, because he's at public places. He's not doing this he is also doing this in the privacy of his home. He has videos where he's in a bathroom and there's another person who participates in his videos, and they wear a mask and they pour slime on him.
What?
And then they rub in the slime.
I hate this.
And but yeah, the main reason why I bring it up is because it disgusts me that this content is on YouTube. It's a bigger problem with YouTube, the fact that there's so much uncensored stuff that anyone can find. And then on top of that, he's in a public place, and it's he has, he wears white jeans for the purpose of, showing his private parts. You can see
Did he get a hard on?
Yeah. Every video. And you can see it, and then there's there's like children in the background and stuff. And he's got videos where he's at swimming parks where there's just kids who are just trying to enjoy their time. Like, I've been to the swimming parks, some of the swimming parks that he's filmed at. Imagine seeing yourself in one of Martin Spaler videos.
Wow. Weird.
But I hate it. I really don't like it. I'm sorry. We're not kink shaming, but also...
We're kink shaming.
If your kink involves...
Little children.
Children and people who didn't consent to it, then that's not okay. And also, YouTube is kind of an awful platform. I love it. I spend too much time on it.
Basically kink shaming YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube, you've got a problem. But YouTube is very dodgy. Like, there is a lot of dodgy stuff on YouTube, especially on kids' YouTube. It's scary, the stuff that kids can find.
Yeah. But a lot of Nazi stuff.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
For children.
Speaking of YouTube, I also have... This is, like, half of my worst, because, like, I don't want to spend too much time on this one, but, like... So this YouTube channel called Plasma Don, I think a lot of people have heard of it because he kind of went viral this year. And it's just an old veteran guy living with a dog covering songs, like popular songs, and he takes requests. And then at one point I found him because he covered a Frank Ocean song. And I mean this like Frank Ocean fan group community thing. And... So everyone was like, oh my god, look how cute Plasma Don. Yeah, he's a bit freaky, but he's really adorable, like, because he's so lonely. So you're kind of like, aw, I feel bad for this man.
Plasma Don hasn't posted in a month.
Yeah, because then what happened is that everyone started figuring out that he actually sexually assaulted a minor not that long ago.
No.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. So I still feel like bad, because like I think Plasma Don also represented a bigger problem for a lot of people, like veterans being lonely at home.
And probably with a lot of trauma.
Yeah, and then him using singing as sort of, as like a way of like coping with the trauma and the loneliness, and then like the YouTube followers becoming kind of like his family.
Yeah, and at least like having that kind of interaction with someone.
And then he turned out to be a pedophile, which maybe like not to excuse his behavior, but maybe also has like its origins in being very traumatized and like...
We
don't know. Like, doesn't mean it's okay, but I think it symbolized like this bigger problem of like veterans in the army in the USA in general. Yeah.
But another like actual thing that I want to mention is like, which is also videos, is the Holocaust TikToks. For those who don't know, on TikTok there's this like sub community of people who like show off their acting skills and are like, look at me, I'm an actor, and this is what I can do. And they basically like shoot these 1 minute videos of them acting out like a tiny improv scene. And I thought, damn, this is really ridiculous. But then I found a segue from the acting thing into Holocaust acting. And it's just kids and also some people that are older than just kids. Because it's mostly teens, and then you have like a couple of like 25-year-olds who also do this, and they dress up as like someone in a concentration camp and just like either act like they have been killed and they're now a ghost, or they're in a concentration camp and they're about to be gassed, or they're about to be like abused by the Nazis. A lot of these acting videos in general are about abuse or about kidnapping and stuff like that. And that's cringy. But then the Holocaust ones are even worse. On those videos, like, I think in the beginning of quarantine, and I was just like, this is insane. This is fake. This is not
really tragic. So, like, Holocaust TikToks.
Yeah, Holocaust TikToks. And it's just like girls, 15-year-old girls, like putting some like smudges on their face and just being like, no, don't hurt me. And then they write like a text in German, like,
is it in black and white?
Yeah. And then it's like, oh no, don't hurt me.
What's
and then
the music like?
I don't know, let's find out.
It's not like Crazy Frog. I kind of imagine that people have started like reporting them onto this and then reporting it.
Yeah.
So I imagine most of them have probably been taken down.
I think so.
Because they definitely were a thing.
POV, you're a German teenager who falls in love with a Jewish girl. That's also really weird. Mm. Like, why? It's just like super fetishizing like the Holocaust. Either through like, I'm the angel that takes away the children that have been killed in the Holocaust, or I'm a blonde teenager acting like I'm in a concentration camp.
It's just not a thing that should
exist
be on
yeah
the
I think this is my worst, like the worst thing I found on the internet, and I see that a lot of them have been like deleted.
Removed.
Yeah, because like when you typed in Holocaust back in the days, it would be like
a trend.
And the first video you would see was like of a girl in black and white in a striped shirt.
Yeah.
It was also like the fact that like they put so much thought into also them picking out a striped shirt and then being like, oh no, I'm being killed.
We're just using the tragedy of the Holocaust as like material that you can use in a little TikTok. Like, TikTok is just not a serious platform, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's just
I can't cringe. Get into the mindset of somebody who's made a Holocaust point of view Same. Video.
I think in general the POV videos are just cringe. And I think the Holocaust ones are also cringy and disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird. Like, also, why would you do that?
Yeah, come on. In 2021, we don't want to see any of this.
No.
Get rid of it. Stop
exactly.
It. My last terrible moment of 2020 culture was the NRC article.
Oh, yeah, same. NRC is like a Dutch newspaper, and they published an article that was like about the art world, which kind of inspired us to start the podcast.
Initially, our first episode was going to be all about like the abuse that has been now like outed by this article, and then we kind of listened back to the podcast episode, and it was it's just such a difficult thing to talk about, and it's quite depressing, honestly. So we just didn't think it was a good thing for us to talk about for
a first episode, also because we weren't like comfortable with podcasting yet, so it was just like
awkward,
a bit awkward and weird, and
it was just wrong, so we got rid of it. I think it's important to kind of give it a bit of context for people who maybe aren't from the Netherlands or just didn't see about this. But basically, there was an artist. I'm not going to name him because
He sucked. He abused sucked. Like a bunch of people.
Yeah, and he was repeatedly like accepted back into the school that the art school that he graduated from, which is like close to home for me and Yahira, because both of us
went to that school
and like had negative I maybe more so than Yahira, but had negative experiences at
the
school.
I was just confused sometimes about certain things. I didn't really have negative experiences.
Okay. We both left. We both were art school dropouts.
Hell yeah. That's why we are becoming art critics now.
Exactly. And basically a Instagram page was made shortly after the article was written, which basically detailed like all the abuse spanning over years that this artist had inflicted on other people, and you know, the fact that he'd been repeatedly invited back into this school, and he'd also like made it as a famous Dutch artist. Like, he was doing really well in the art world here, despite the fact that people knew about the abuse and it was pretty well known. And then there was an Instagram page called Call Out Dutch Art Institutions that was accepting anonymous submissions about bad behavior going on, obviously, in Dutch art institutions. And then one of the schools that was mentioned in some of the submissions actually sued this Instagram page that was kind of like a space for people to upload the terrible things that they had inflicted on them.
Yeah.
And obviously this is way more serious.
This is a very complicated issue in general, because like, I can understand why they sue. Because it also like then turned out like some people abuse submission thingies. And some of the submissions are also so silly. I mean, there was this one about, like, farting, and I was just like, who cares?
Wait, what?
There was this one, like, oh, yeah, I was at an art party, and...
Someone farted.
This guy farted constantly while standing next to me.
Maybe, like, he just had bad bowels.
Yeah, and I was just like, damn, dude, let the man live, you know? But that's what I mean, like, so it's complicated because, like,
this is the problem, though. I think even the Instagram page themselves accepted the fact that this isn't an ideal platform for sharing these stories.
Absolutely not.
But these institutions, these art schools, they don't have an acceptable way for people to submit their problems and their experiences. And because what you're basically told is that this is just what art school is like, and you're just told to suck it up, and you're just told to, like, no, but deal that's what with I mean.
It's complicated because, like, on one hand I get it, because, like, a bunch of other Instagrams came after that one was like, call out Dutch or Rotterdam abusers.
There's no point, like, going into, like, oh, is that story true?
No, exactly, there's no point into doing that, but I get why it was controversial because of that. So,
but I don't put the NRC article as in my worst cultural moments. I think it's amazing that that article was written. It was really well written. And I read it, and it was awful, and it made me feel sick, which I think is important. That guy doesn't deserve the platforms that he's been getting. But I put it in my worst moments just because it's a terrible thing that happened.
Yeah, and everything that happened afterwards was just a rollercoaster of weird stuff.
Yeah.
From the KBK letter that they released to the whole situation that's going on at KBK right now.
Yeah. The school still protects abusers.
Yeah, basically.
They, even in the kind of the work that they have done to try and address this, they haven't addressed it. They've just been, like, skipping around it, and it's just been terrible. It's just not a good school, and I said it. I'm glad I left.
I hate that because, like, I kind of still like them.
No, I'm glad I left. Because something that I've realised at the end of this year was that I think what really makes an art school, more so than, you know, the reputation or whatever facilities, is, like, the students.
Yeah.
Like, art students are so resilient, and they are so powerful, like, when they put their mind to it. Do you have any final worst cultural moments of 2020?
Maybe a quick, like, run through the things that I want to say but, like, don't want to get into too deep. Everything that didn't happen after all the protests
with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, so we had the momentum, and then basically that's a different discussion for another time, I guess. Because I think the protests are on my best list. But then everything that happened afterwards was just a mess.
Yeah, kind of related to that was
the celebrities also.
Yeah, I was going to say in Bristol with the... there was the statue that was removed and, like, thrown into the harbour of the slave trader Edward Colston. There was a statue then made afterwards, and a guy to do a statue of a black woman, like, protesting, but then the guy who made the statue was questionable.
Yeah.
And it just kind of...
Wasn't he, like, a white guy with, like, a shit ton of abuse allegations?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So people just felt like it was just out of place. And
there's no actual call for action. There's no... Because, like, that's the thing I said today to a friend of mine, like... It's not about how many people you can assemble at a protest. It's about what you do after that protest. It's about, like, what are you going to do? What is, like, where are you going to go? What are your goals? You can't organize a protest. And this is not calling out the organizers in any way. But, like, I feel like a lot of people thought, fun. Protest, let's just make Instagram pictures.
No, that was, like, when I was at the protest in Rotterdam for Black Lives Matter, the majority of the people around me were just people taking photos. Like, I literally saw a girl, like, and, like, just taking photos of someone, and they spent, like, 10 minutes during the speeches just taking photos of themselves with their with their signs,
and that sucks.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Really
though
sad.
I do think, like, the people who are organizing, especially in the Netherlands, they're doing a great job. And shout out to you guys. It's just sad that the majority of the people is just not invested enough in understanding what you're doing.
though I also have some critiques for those people. But yeah, who am I? I think. And then some other things, people actively approaching me to educate them because I'm half black, so I'm approachable because I'm also half white, so you know, it's not too intimidating to educate them about like the whole George Floyd matter. Seeing the video of George Floyd everywhere, which is like quite,
it was disgusting.
Exactly. So that was worst culture moments, I think, because I was tired as hell. Like,
and after the fact that people kind of the fact that people shared this video with
over
this whole
and
idea
over again
that like white people need to see somebody, a black person,
dying,
literally dying before they
can
realize
that this
that
is
there's
a
bit of a problem.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and it's disgusting, and it's like, I don't want to see that on my feed.
No, same. That was one of the worst things that happened. And I think for me, that's actually one of the best. Realizing how much I dislike identity politics was the best moment. It's a preview for me.
Proud of you. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was... I always knew, but then I finally started like realizing, because I was always like, I don't really like identity politics. And then I started being like, damn, I really hate identity politics. I think this is might be one of our more controversial episodes.
I did rant about cottagecore.
Yeah, and called them Nazis.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
But I did make a comparison.
Yeah, you said they were Nazis.
Bit controversial.
Yeah.
I think that wraps up all of our terrible things about this year. This year has been a weird year. Like,
yeah,
for me, it's felt so long, but at the same time, like, I've kind of enjoyed the longness of it.
Yeah, and it was great. Sometimes it was really nice.
Yeah, I had some good you know, memories from this year.
So we wish you a very, very happy new year and hope to see you in the next year with all of your beautiful opinions. Keep sending them, please, because we really like that. And
please follow us.
Yeah, please follow us. Give us a rating on iTunes if you have iTunes, because it really helps us in the
Give
sense
us a
that we
five
can
5-star on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, because then we can like we end up in the search algorithm, so people can find us more.
I think also if you follow us on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify,
yeah,
that also really helps. Yeah. Hashtag help out small podcasts.
Yeah, because like we're trying and we get a lot of great feedback from you guys that you really like hearing us, and we love that, but we also maybe eventually want to make a living out of this, and then we need your help. Yeah. That was me singing for you in the hopes that it would reach your heart.
Please join us on our second part of this episode. It's going to be us in the new year.
Yeah,
we're gonna bring in the new year with some good things in culture, because we can be positive and not just negative.
Yeah. So yeah, enjoy your New Year's Eve.
Be safe.
Yeah, don't go partying, my friends, because we don't want to quarantine until September.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Bye. The Spoiled Broth was brought to you by Jemima Vaughn and Yahaira Brita Morfa. Our intro and outro jingle was made by Brian Murphy. And we want to thank everyone who advises us on making the podcast. Hope to see you next time.